You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Doug Karsh from the home studio, Gator at the Jamie Samuelson Studios. We are streaming live on our website, 971theticket.com. Also streaming through the radio.com app, where you can take the show anywhere with you on your mobile device. And streaming video on twitch.tv. You can see into the studio, and you can see into my home office if you're watching on twitch.tv. It's exciting, I guess. But you can also comment and get your comments in via the stream on the Twitch page. Will take your tweets at DougGator971. Your text at 248-539-9797. A lot of people have opted to text in, Gator.
Oh, look at that.
On the topic of you wearing cleats to a concert.
Fancy that. I also, by the way, just I Googled the Monsters of Rock tour from 1988. So I have that Wikipedia. It has its own page.
Does it?
Yeah. And I'm looking at the tour bill, it says, and it has the bands were listed and how long they played for. And the already I was corrected that I had mistaken Dokken for Metallica and switched them around. So it was Kingdom Come played for 45 minutes, Metallica for 60, Dokken for 60, Scorpions for 75 minutes, and then Van Halen played for 100 minutes. So they kind of split the bill.
Yeah, we got some feedback on that, Gator. Yeah. People,
well, they had two shows.
Gator made a mistake, and it got corrected quickly, although I wouldn't have been the one to correct you. I, too, attended Monsters of Rock show as well, and Metallica was the second act.
See?
Exact order was wrong. Metallica before Dokken.
I corrected it before I saw anybody correct me. I was able to do that.
Dokken hated following Metallica for each show. That's from an unnamed texter.
I don't think that's true at all, but...
You don't?
No, but Jason Newsted was the bass player for Metallica at the time.
Right.
He was a kid... Like he said, right. He's from Battle Creek, Michigan, and was in a band called Flotsam and Jetsam before he joined Metallica. But Metallica's bass player, Cliff Burton, had died in a horrible bus accident in Sweden, I believe. So they had just signed Jason Newsted to play with him. So they didn't have, I think Metallica only had I guess they had three albums at the time, and they had just released this garage band EP that was kind of cool that came out, but they hadn't come out with their album Injustice for All yet, so which ended up having their biggest hit at that time. I don't think they played that song at the concert. It was pretty cool, but Metallica was the one. If you could find one band out of those that kind of didn't fit, it was Metallica, because they played way heavier than the rest of the bands. Kingdom Come was like a Led Zeppelin clone.
I feel like you should do a podcast.
I probably should. Roberto and I should probably talk about this more than you and I.
I would wear cleats to a concert with you, because you never know what could happen. That's from Sam in Tennessee.
See? Sam knows.
From Sean, Doug, some concerts back in the day required you to wear steel-toed boots and a mouth guard, just in case.
Yeah, well, that, I think, just sounds wrong.
Tommy in a truck. Gator, I used to wear wrestling shoes to concerts when I was young, just in case something went down.
Got his Asics wrestling shoes just in case he had to grapple.
Yeah. From Scott, okay, Dokken is not cleat worthy. Scorpions, okay, Dokken, no.
Okay, there were five bands at the show. And you better stop knocking Dokken right now.
Gator didn't bring a change of shoes for each different band. From an unnamed texter, Doug is so fascinated with the cleat story, I'm positive Doug would have shown up with his bike helmet to any possible mosh pit. Well, I'll tell you what, Gator, here's the truth about the bike helmet. Amazon Prime Days, I wasn't lying, earlier this week I ordered a new helmet for mountain biking.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets delivered, and we might have just had a delivery, if it gets delivered, it's supposed to get delivered today. If it gets delivered, I'll do a segment or two with the new bike helmet on.
Oh, so, well.
Yep.
We got that to look forward to.
Yeah, my daughter's out there grabbing the package. This could be the. The
Don't say one. That.
You know what I mean, Jesus Gator. You can do that about a lot of things.
I'm just saying. I'm just warning before others jump on that. Okay.
Nobody else would do that. Nobody else.
Okay.
Our audience is way too classy for that. Way too classy. And now she wants to know why we're talking about nothing, honey. God. All right. So the Lions, Gator.
Yes.
Did they bounce back and win this game?
Well, now there's some other issues. News that Frank Ragnow may not play on Sunday. And that's a big one because Big Frank has been their best offensive lineman. And I don't think it's even close. He's played at a great, great level for this team. And if he is unable to play, you got to start shuffling around. And they have three options to play center. You play the rookie, Jonah Jackson, which means that then Joe Dahl would go in at guard. Or you play Joe Dahl, who's coming off injured, and he would play center. Or you go with Ben Benchwal, who can play center, but obviously hasn't played much in the 2 years he's been in the league, or year and a half he's been in the league. So it would be a severely weakened position. And you could argue that being the most important lineman position or left tackle, I guess, because you're protecting the quarterback's blind side. But the center is usually in charge of helping to call out the protections and all that. So that's a big one. I don't know if he's going to play or not. If he doesn't play, that's a huge strike against the Lions. Trufant hasn't practiced, so I don't know if he's going to be available. We haven't heard a whole lot about Coleman.
I doubt Trufant's going to practice. He hasn't practiced in a long time. Coleman is not practicing. He's not going to play.
So, I mean, you're looking at – but on the other side, Chark hasn't practiced. And that's their best receiver. Now, maybe they're just holding him out because it's like a maintenance thing. Okay, he'll be fine by Sunday, but let's not – he doesn't need to practice too much. You know, I'm a big Gardner Minshew fan. Yep. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback, and I think he's got some leadership abilities that we'd love to see in our quarterback. And
intangibles.
Yeah, you got the intangibles. But they've got a rookie running back that's done a really nice job for him, James Robinson. But I still think it's the Lions' game to lose. I just think the Lions have more talent on offense. I think that the Jags are more competent on defense. Statistically, it's obvious that they are. But I also think they have some guys that could be some stars in the league in years to come, whereas the Lions don't have those players. But I'm still going to give the slight edge to the Lions.
I'm intrigued by that state. Who do you think is going to be a star in the league?
I got to go back and look at the roster. But they've drafted some guys lately.
Because, I think T.J. Hockenson is going to be a star in the league. And now I'll duck for cover. I'm really intrigued by Swift. Really intrigued by Okuda. It's so easy to give up on guys because they're struggling early in their careers.
Sure, but like, for instance, the Jags drafted Josh Allen. That's the guy we wanted, right?
Yep.
Okay, they have Miles Jack. I think Miles Jack is good. C.J. Henderson is, you know, a lot of people have him just a notch below Okuda. He's been hurt.
Impressive debut, yeah.
Yeah, he's been hurt. But those are just a few names that just jump out at me right now. They also, drafted Clavon Chaisson, the edge rusher. So I think, like I said, in a couple of years. So we'll see how they have a chance to develop.
What intrigued me, so you like that core of young players better than Detroit?
For defense, yeah. And, you know, offensively, they also have LaVisca Chenault.
He's their leading receiver right now. Yeah,
like him. But so, Chark is really good for him.
Are the Lions fixable? We didn't get a chance to answer that question. And what would it take to fix them? And do you even want them fixed? All right, Gator, so the Lions... I think, just to answer the question, I do think they're going to win this week. And the Ragnow injury has me a little bit concerned as to whether or not he's going to play this week. And that does sort of shake my confidence a little bit. He's not been ruled out, so let's just leave it at that for now. But I do think they win this week, and I'm pretty confident in it, although not confident enough to do something crazy like a shoot the boot guarantee that they win. But they're 1-3, and if they lose to a bad Jacksonville team, the piling on is going to be insane come Monday. But there's also a concern that I have, not really a concern, I guess, but it would be the reality that apathy would set in for the season, that this they'll just lose people. But this is an opposing defense that has just been shredded. Opposing quarterbacks are completing 75.8% of their passes, and that which is an NFL worst. 56% of opposing teams' drives end in a score, which is an NFL worst. If this offense, which last year showed more than a pulse, it was pretty good at the beginning of the year before Stafford got hurt. If this offense has anything to offer this year and they don't show it this weekend, I mean, it's just not going to happen. You got to put up points and a pretty big point total against this defense, don't you?
Well, you would think. I mean, the Jaguars have given up 30 points or more in four straight games. So, yeah, you would think that you'd be able to score against Jacksonville. But Jacksonville's also played their schedule hasn't been, cream puffs here. They're not a good team, but I don't know if they're a bad team. I think they're, when I think of bad teams, I think of like bottom six in the league. And maybe that sounds arbitrary to see six, but the reason I do this, because I kind of lump the Lions and the Jags together. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the two teams when it'll come down to a win-loss record. I think they're similar in that regard. I mean, their big win, because they have one, just like the Lions, they beat Indianapolis to start the season. Well, yeah. The Lions beat Arizona early in the season. Both teams are teams that people, certainly didn't think the Lions were going to beat Arizona. They did, and, looking at things now, Indianapolis is a pretty good football team, and yet Jacksonville beat them, and they lost to Tennessee by 3 points. That's it. Tennessee's a good football team. They just got beat by Houston. Now, Houston was winless going into it, but Houston had played a really tough schedule up to that point, and now they finally feel freed from the restraints of playing for their coach, who was a horrible GM and had ruined and gutted that team, and now they feel like they've got something going. So, they're an okay team. They're a little bit better than a bad team, but they're also less than mediocre, I guess, is the way I'd
put it. I think last year they were an authentic bad team, and Detroit was a mediocre team, but a bad team because Stafford got hurt. I think they were authentically about an 8-8 team a year ago in that ballpark. I thought Jacksonville was authentically bad, and I think both teams are trending towards authentically bad this year. The reason why I like the Lions, I feel like there's more evidence that the Lions can dip into being a good team. Because the one thing that the Lions have done, and it means something, the question is what, is they have jumped out to double-digit leads against good opponents. Now, those good opponents, you can make the argument, eventually wake up and go, okay, fine, and get very dismissive and go to work and beat the Lions. But if you want to make the case that the Lions in any kind of path to being better than the suckitude we've seen,
I like it.
Whatever. It's that they have been able to give teams fits for a while. I mean, they had Chicago on the ropes and they let them off the mat. They came out fast against Green Bay, which is probably the least impressive of their double-digit losses. Against New Orleans, they looked really, really good. And as per usual, a good team either wakes up or whatever you want to call it. I feel like there's more evidence that the Lions might be better than their record shows than that is the case with Jacksonville. However, I don't think Detroit's particularly good. Now, if they go to Jacksonville and lose, it's it's more over than it's already over, and most people think it's over. Are they fixable, though, is the question. And I don't feel like they are.
Yeah, fixable to what degree? To make them a playoff contender?
I don't know. Fixable to make them much better than this.
Well, I mean, you have to define what fixable is, because I don't think they're fixable to become a playoff contender. Are they fixable to become an 8-8 team?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the schedule's there in front of them where they could absolutely contend to be an 8-8 team because of teams they're playing against. But the teams they're playing against, a lot of them are very similar to the Lions.
Do you remember yesterday we talked about how bad the Lions pass rush was? And I'm trying to find yesterday's show notes.
Yeah, it was epically bad.
It's really bad. Now, this is, you know, Thursdays I really start getting into my preview of the coming week, and they were 27th in blitz percentage. So they don't blitz. They blitz on 19.9% of the downs, which doesn't mean you're bad, but it tells how aggressive you are defensively. But that defensive philosophy has produced the worst hurry percentage in the NFL. Opposing quarterbacks only get hurried to throw on 4.4% of their dropbacks. They are 32nd in sacks. They've played fewer games than some teams, but they've only had 5 sacks in 4 games, which is pathetic. Their pressure percentage, which is hurries, quarterback hits, and sacks, all added up and then divided by the number of dropbacks. So this is, if a quarterback drops back 100 times, how often is he actually facing pressure? The Lions, it's 15.4%, 32nd in the league. Now, we've talked at great length about how pressuring a quarterback leads to turnovers for so many reasons. Sack fumble, you know, a quarterback gets hit enough, they start trying to get rid of the ball early, which leads to bad throws. Sometimes even just the mere presence of a defensive lineman close to a quarterback where he has to throw off balance leads to a bad throw. The Lions don't create any of that, and hence they don't create turnovers. The pass rush is bad. But then you mix in the fact, as I went through more of game prep today, the Lions couple that with not stopping the run. Like, they give up 170 yards a game on the ground, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 32nd in the NFL.
Worse than
the Gator, league. I checked again today. There's still 32 teams.
Still 32,
in the
yeah. Still worse.
So we're combining the worst pass rush in the league with the worst run defense in the league. How do you fix that? How do you fix that?
Well, because Patricia's, what he's going to try to do is to simplify things. And I think his own words were, we're going to try to do less, which is just wide open to criticism, you know, but I understand what he's trying to do and what he's trying to say there. And it's, you know, they've had a whole bunch of different lineups in there. They've had injury issues that have resulted in that. They've just tried to do what they would say a bunch of different packages out there, and yet we know what it looks like. They've had like one game where they played more zone, and that was the Arizona game, and they were successful with it. Most of the games they've done more man-to-man, and they haven't been successful at it. So maybe it's simplification is just that. It's stopping with all these multiple packages, and we're going to go with, like, you know, a couple base things we're going to run, and then we need to bring pressure in common, easy ways to do it, which is bring a safety in, bring a corner in, bring a linebacker in, blitz, bring more than 3 guys, bring more than 4 guys. But they have to do it.
I hate this hopeless feeling. I really do. I think over the years, people have come to understand how we're wired and what we want and things that we talk about and what, you know, at times we might be overly optimistic. And I'm willing to accept that as the scouting report for the Carson Anderson program. When we ask the question, are they fixable? I am struggling mightily to come up with a path to it being better.
Yeah, I think they can be better. I don't think they're fixable. Not right now. I think they need more talent on this team. I think they have to weed out some players that just haven't worked out and don't make a whole lot of sense. I think they're trying to fit square pegs and round holes with schemes, and that stuff all needs to be changed with a regime change. I mean, it's not going to get better until you change
it. I disagree. These are the round, you know, pegs in the round holes, because these are the guys they wanted. This is the scheme they're used to running.
Fair enough.
They suck at it. I don't know if it's the coaching or the players all of a sudden don't know how to run the scheme, but whatever it is, it's not working. These are their guys. Who was it? You or Doug that read the stat the other day? There's only 3 guys left over from Quinn when Quinn took over this team.
The kicker, the long snapper, and the quarterback.
So after that, Quinn has picked all these players up, right? And specifically for Patricia when he came on board a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
These are the players they wanted. These aren't the wrong players. These are the players they want. Maybe they are the wrong players because the results show they're the wrong players, but These are the guys that know the system, the guys that Patricia and Quinn wanted, and they still can't run
the you're
scheme.
Right. There's maybe I misspoke in how I worded it, but you're 100% right. This is all their own doing.
Yes.
They've got their scheme, they're hell-bent on using it, and they brought in their players. I guess my point that
it's not working
articulately.
Out.
Well, no, it's not working out, but the point should have been made. The guys they brought in, they're well past their prime in making this thing work. And the guys they've drafted that they think would work, they're not working. Whatever it is that they're doing ain't working. So then, if you're going to expect to fix it, you have to change it. You can't just keep saying, we have to execute. Because this team is incapable of executing your game plan. Either your game plan's too convoluted, outdated, and stubbornly stupid, or you've got players that just don't mesh up in that.
Yeah, so the simple answer for me is it's not fixable unless they completely go the other way, all of a sudden become this blitzing team or whatever it is, because we've tried this for a few years now. It hasn't worked. Now you want to make it more simple for these guys? These are the guys who are supposed to know how to run this stuff. And I know you got some new guys with rookies and stuff like that, but the free agents you brought in, Danny Shelton, you know, Jamie Collins, Trey Flowers, these guys,
Reggie Ragland,
they run this stuff. They know this stuff. You know, you bring in Jelani Tavai and Okuda because you probably think they can work in your system, right?
Yeah.
So if they don't know this system, change it up completely. Your jobs are on the line. I mean, you're a quarter way through the season right now. Start blitzing, start doing whatever, but that's the only way it's fixable because this scheme, not fixable with these players.
Yeah, and Doug, the other thing that's tough for me is that, I mean, when we ask the question, are they going to win? And I have to turn off the part of my brain that says I want them to lose. Because I so desperately want the coach to be fired. I'm done with this because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And he's been so stubborn about this defensive scheme. And the general manager has done his, you know, he's made his bed. And he's been living in this for a long time now. I mean, that stat that I brought up a week ago about the three players, only three players remain from pre-Bob Quinn days. Is remarkable because that tells you this is entirely his team and entirely his own doing. Not only did he bring all these players in, he brought the coach in. And there's not a modicum of success.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.